In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to think for a moment today about what your life is all about. What is it that you are focused in on and so totally grasped with your head and your mind and your body around? What is it that gets you up in the middle of the night with worry and concern? What is it that gets you up after a sleepless night willing to tackle the day ahead? What is it that you are constantly battling and fighting and yet knowing that you're constantly battling and fighting because it's what you are passionate about? What is your life? How would you define it? Is it stuff? Is it what you have and what you own? Do you constantly go after the next gadget or gizmo? You constantly find yourself saying, if I only had this, life would be so much better. My life would be fulfilled. Maybe it's actually doing something. Maybe it's a bucket list, as some like to call it these days, going someplace, seeing something. Maybe it's your kids or your grandkids, your spouse, who maybe at times you don't always get along with, but nonetheless, they bring you great joy. What is your life all about? If we sat down with each one of you here today, if I sat down with you, there would be a myriad of answers that you would give. Maybe some of you would tell me where you were from, how you were raised by your parents, what you have for values in life, what you find to be important, and what you find to be the true meaning of life. But for how many of us, when we say, what is your life all about, or who are you and what is your life, what is important to you in life, how many of us would we begin by simply saying, I am a Christian? How many of us would say this, even before mentioning your name and where you're from and what you grew up doing and what kind of siblings you have and children and grandchildren and what you do for a living or what you retired from or anything else? How many of us would simply look at life and say, I am a Christian first and foremost? We hosted a seminary extension class this past week, and we learned at the feet of Dr. Buescher, who was here this past Sunday. And this was something that he presented to us pastors and deaconesses that was the central focus of the early Christian church in the first and second century. A church that was going against the Roman government at the time. A church that was constantly being persecuted and maligned. A church that was looked upon as wackos, weirdos, people who were delirious with these strange imaginations about God becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. And as time progressed, the Romans started to disperse persecution against the Christian gatherings, not necessarily the individuals. They didn't want the people gathering. And we read through various martyrdom accounts of men and women who were brought before the emperors and others who were in authority, and they were simply asked to deny the Christ and to swear their allegiance to the emperor, to the government, because we don't want to harm you. They were asked to simply throw a little bit of incense into the pagan altar of the emperor, the false god that was around them. Simply do this and you'll live. We do not want to harm you. But over and over and over again in these martyrdom accounts, these people who went to the flames, who went to the hot gridirons, who were boiled in oil, all came back and simply said, I am a Christian. This is who I am. And this is who my Lord Jesus Christ has made me to be in baptism. This is who he is in giving me his own flesh and blood to live, some would say. As he himself was crucified, who went through great suffering and now lives, that is who I am. I am a Christian. Kind of brings a different perspective on life, doesn't it? Because the early Christians had no choices in life. They didn't wake up in the morning and say, what are we going to do this morning? What are we going to eat? In fact, in many ways, they were fatalists. Fatalists because their average length of time span, their time span of living, their lifespan, was no more than 25 or 26 years old. Many of them were in poverty. Many were very hungry. Many just simply wanted to get through the day and live. But it is fascinating in all of this to compare us today as Christians and as a society. We are given so many different choices. We are given so many different opinions and thoughts thrown at us left and right as to who you should be and what your life should be all about. And how is that going for you? How are those things that you struggle and that you strive for and that you cannot seem to get ahead on, how is it that those things are working out for you? How are the frustrations and the pains at times that maybe you have with your own body working out for you? How is it that we as a congregation gather together here week in and week out with all of our worries and all of our fears and maybe all of our doubts and wonder, what in the world is God doing even with this place and with our life together? Big questions I'm sure you've had, big doubts and big fears, just as I have had. There have been so many things in life that I have focused on, that I have worried about, that I've struggled and wrestled to do, and I've come up failing. I wanted to be a rock drummer. I wanted to be the next John Bonham. And so I went to college for music. And after my first music theory class, I failed. And after my second music theory class, I failed. And after my freshman recital, which I got a D on, I realized this was not for me. You have seen other things in your life that you have figured out that this is what my life should be all about. This is what I'm focusing on. This is what it truly means to live. And then all of it is dashed and thrown away. A failure at times. It avails you nothing, as John says and Paul says today. This is why it's so wonderful with our John 6 text this morning. Did you notice how much life and living was mentioned in this text today? I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, says Jesus. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. From the dead to live forever. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, not as our forefathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus is telling us very clearly today that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. That no one comes to the Father except by Him. You know this. And now He says it even more poignantly today, that His flesh and His blood are true life for you and for the world. It's a hard saying. It truly is. Eating flesh and drinking blood, this makes no sense. And you'll notice what happens. Jesus does not try to clarify it with His hearers today. He goes back over and says it once again. These are things that are received and given by faith. The bread that comes down from heaven, that you partake of and you live. The Jews disputed amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus says again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you do this, you have no life in you. He starts out with almost 5,000 hearers. Leading up to this point, what preacher would not give anything to have 5,000 hearers? But you'll notice he ends with only 12, one of whom would even deny Him and betray Him. It makes no difference. Jesus has come and He brings His flesh and His blood given up on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins for you this day, so that you may live in a world full of death. There have been so many things that we have been consumed with that we try to define life about, and yet these things have failed us. Whether it's relationships, jobs, retirement accounts, goals and ambitions. Either way, moth and rust will destroy these things, and as we have known all too well, people will die and leave us. But not your Savior. Absolutely not your Savior. He will not leave you. He gives you His life for the world today. With the hearing of the words of eternal life, as Peter would say. The words that have opened up the gates of paradise for you. You are now forgiven of all of your sins. No matter how far you have strayed, no matter what you have done against God, no matter how far and how much failure you have seen in life, no matter how much pain and infliction you have encountered, it is all gone and done away with the words of eternal life spoken to you this day. And those same words are now connected to this bread and to this cup, where heaven and earth are meeting here together, and where the risen and reigning victorious Son of God beckons you to this table to give you His flesh and His blood so that you may live. This is our life, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian, to be brought into that relationship by the Holy Spirit, into the Son of God, who comes from the living Father to tell us, to quiet our fears, that all is okay. All in a world of death is now a world full of life and hope for you. All in a world full of graveyards is nothing but promises of resurrection and life everlasting for you. All in a world full of hunger and thirsting after the cares and the riches and pleasures of the world will fail us. But here is true food and true drink, given and shed for you. Come, as we would say growing up, dinner is ready, it's all here, the table is set. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good, and know that because of it, you live. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We bring our offerings to the Lord.